bit about what I consider to be a natural progression in the life of a Kingster. Okay, and this is just my opinion. It isn't true for everybody, but this is what I've seen as a pattern. You know, we've heard from guys that, you know, from a very young age, we've, you know, heard from people who got into it late. My observation from having been in the kink community since 1977 is that probably 80 to 90% of men get into kink around the time of midlife crisis, around 40, right around there, a little later maybe. It's not bad, it's good, and here's why. As males, not talking about straight or gay or anything like that, not talking about kinky, but as males, from the moment that we get hair on our balls, we are wired to want to fit in with the herd. You don't want to be picked on for being a geek or a nerd. You don't want to dress wrong. You don't want to be treated shabbily because, you know, you're talking in too lispy a voice, so you try and butch it up, whatever. It's wired into us as males. I don't know why, but that's why junior high and high school are such hell. Because we're all focusing on each other's flaws. Why aren't you fitting in? What's wrong with you? So it has its effects upon us. But right around the time, around usually the average is around 80-40, a man starts thinking, wait a second, I can see the day coming when I won't have so much young and pretty anymore. And I'm really tired of making everybody else happy. What about me? What about my needs? I am so fucking tired of fitting into everybody else's expectations. I don't know what I want, but I know I don't want to live in the old path anymore. So suddenly you've got infinite possibilities, and think of yourself as being like a diamond. It rotates, and now new parts of yourself come to the front that were always there, but now you're owning them. Now you're celebrating them. Now you're starting to enjoy them. That's what a large part of the function of this group is to welcome brothers, to initiate brothers, to reassure brothers. Okay, fine. I'll talk more about that. Next phase, let's say somebody wants to step up and say, you know, I want to make life better for a lot of other people too. I've been learning how to grow, and I want to give back. I want to start doing things in this as a community. What our larger culture as males, and as gay males especially, says, we're only supposed to connect to each other sucky, fucky, you know, go away, you know, grinder, recon, whatever. But as men, we need more. We need to know that when we fall back, the people will catch us because we want to. We need to know that if we ask a question, people won't make fun of us for being ignorant. Doesn't mean you're stupid. Ignorance can be cured, you know, for God's sake. But how are you going to know if you don't ask and if you don't feel safe in asking? So you start, you know, stepping up and saying, you know, I've arrived. I want to start volunteering. I want to help out with things. I want to, you know, there's this big thing coming up. How can I help? Okay. What it does, when somebody says that, when somebody wants to volunteer, then suddenly doors open that you didn't even know were there. Suddenly people start saying, hey, you're going to L.A.? Let me talk to a friend of mine up in L.A. You can stay at his place for free instead of paying for a hotel room. Huh. Networking in a tribe. Okay. So then you go to your next step where you say, I want to be the one with the football. And I'm not saying this will happen for anybody in this room, but sometimes this happens. What happens is that you're so comfortable inside your own skin as a kinky man, where you feel comfortable, you know, just saying, this is me, this is it, what you see is what you get, this is who I am, take it or leave it. Well, then you start saying, I want to be powerful with this. I want to step up and I want to start coming up with some great ideas. This group is very much of a support for that. Why? Because it is lonely to be a passionate and powerful man with no support system. When you have a huge support system, you start taking more chances. And I'm not saying this is true of anybody here, but I've seen it over and over again, where a man of the community becomes even more popular, even more desired. Now, many guys give up right around this point. They say, I've learned how to flog. I've learned how to do some bondage. Thanks. I'm going to go take it on the road, and we never see them again. It's okay. That's their growth. That's their process. But many people instead stick around, and they start contributing in some way. They give back. That whatever they've learned, they teach others, because that's how it works, karmically. Okay, there's, you know, I'm not going to put any judgment on it, except for my wiring, for my nature, I find this very, very respectable, admirable, honorable, and, you know, makes them very lovable. Because someone who's just in it for themselves, they don't tend to last in this group. They really don't. They think that all this hugging is creepy. They think that all this mutual support is something that they don't quite get, and they don't understand the motivation for why somebody would want to do such a thing. That's fine. That's them. That's their wiring. Our group tends to be more for the guy who wants to be a man of the tribe. What we have here is special. And I'm saying this to the new guys. This is a very tribal group. What that means is that it's based on honor. Not as in, I've got to stick up my ass, I'm more honorable than anybody else. It's about being the kind of guy that you know how to be when you're at your best, when you feel safe in being that nicest guy. I could go on and on and on, and I won't. So let's get back to the main topic. I am very good at making new people feel welcome. I mean, there's many men here know that. I'm really good at that. The reason why is because I understand what's underneath it. There's a fear of looking ignorant. There's a fear of being ridiculous, of not fitting in, of not being good enough. We all have this. Every fucking man in this room has body dysmorphia, where you feel like nothing, there's other people out there that are gorgeous and I'm not. So you take it personally. Like everybody else is having fun, just not me. But that's all of us. I mean, not just the guys in this room, it's everywhere. So how do we reassure that shy new guy? First of all, when I'm selling somebody the concept of kink, leather, and fetish, it's a very simple concept. It's just extreme intimacy. That's all it ever has been. That all this programming we've gotten from the media, oh, perverts and sickness and, you know, disease, bad people, you know, rotten. Well, there's people that like to play that. But one of the things that I discovered as a young man, one of the first things that totally blew my fucking mind, was every day, I was living up in L.A. at the time, and every day I would walk past a bar called The One Way. I'd peek in the door, and there'd be guys with tattoos up their necks, and some guy with a bone in his nose, and some guy completely shaved head except a little pigtail in the back, and, you know, all sorts of zany shit. And I'd look in, and I'd go, huh! You know, all these leathermen, and I'd scamper along. I was quite young at the time. And then I kept doing that. They go, wow, that's really scary. Then one day, Sunday afternoon, I was walking by and I looked in. It was a sunny day and there was a skylight in the bar. I looked in and went, huh, and oh, wait, these are the guys I had brunch with and they're the sweetest guys you ever saw. And I thought, this is what I've been afraid of? Holy shit. Like, you know, there's an old joke. It's an old joke. You've all heard some variation of it. Where, you know, a cartoon or something where there's two unbelievable, hot, raunchy-looking leather men and they're talking in the bar and you overhear them saying, no, 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 you've got it wrong. You're supposed to fold the meringue in, not mix it. You know, that sort of thing. And see, that's what's underneath it, that we're not Tom of Finland caricatures. Nobody is. Even the guys that when you go to a big leather event and they've got every detail just so, frankly, many of them are using it as a distancing mechanism because inside they're shy, they're unsure of themselves, and they don't know how to reach out. So they've got the suit of armor on. And this is true of many, many, many. That's why if I'm dressed up in gear, I only wear it if I mean it. And I'm not in a porn movie. I have to have a balance in my life of being sweet and friendly and hardcore. I have to have all of it as a man. I have to have the experience of getting my dreams fulfilled and getting my nature, my soul nourished by being part of something larger than myself. See, as human beings, we are wired, many of us, to want tribe. Human beings are just basically super evolved troop monkeys. We're pack apes. We need to know that we fit in. And we're lonely because we don't. Because when you're on recon all the time and all you get is internet flakes, or you're on Grindr and all you get is looky-loos, or, you know, and you take it personally. This is different. It's a big ad, I admit that, for being part of a tribe. The reason why I'm pushing it so hard is because it fucking works. It really works. much more so than honestly in any other city that I'm aware of. LA doesn't have this, and they yearn for it. The people from the UK, they constantly say, when are you going to bring this to Manchester? When are you going to bring this to, Edinburgh? When are you going to bring it to Germany? Because the people in Germany, you think, wow, you see the pictures from Germany, wow. Everybody's, dressed in tight, kinky gear, and, they're raunchy, and they're getting in the back room of the bar, and they're fucking and sucking and doing all sorts of kinky stuff. Wow, looks like a constant porn movie over there. And they're lonely as shit because they have no connection to anyone else unless they found a boyfriend. They have no sense that people love them and care about them for who they are. And it's terrible. And so, yes, I'm opinionated because, frankly, this is the pinpoint epicenter of a movement that's taking over the world for kinky men all over the world. Last time I checked, there's 45 brother groups for this group worldwide. People are watching us because we're on the right path. The difference with this group, and again, this is aimed at the topic tonight, is that when I created this group 4.5 years ago, I dropped the threshold down to the ground. You don't have to have a big dick or big muscles. You don't have to be young. You don't have to be, you don't have to have $5,000 worth of gear on you at one time. You don't have to do any of that shit. Just be nice. We're all got so much in common. Let's find out what it is. By saying this, as a tribe, we've been growing continuously. I mean, this is kind of light tonight. A lot of guys called, checked in, and said they couldn't make it tonight. But normally we get quite a few more than this at this meeting. Usually we use up every chair. But what we have here is the perfect place for the shy, the new, the unsure, and the insecure. Because we all have to start somewhere. All of us did. Yes, there's people out there who know 100 times more than I do on any given topic. I don't consider that to be anymore to be a point of insecurity. Because what I do know, I gladly share. What we have here is a beautiful, beautiful thing for new people, for shy people. For instance, just a quick sidebar. When Friday night at Numbers Bar, you guys familiar where that is, okay? 10 o'clock, we have a very special, special, special thing happening, which unfortunately is colliding with Eli's event at the Eagle, but we've had that discussion. He'll know better next time. It's going to be very different, and it's going to be very much on topic for what the topic is for tonight. I am teaching my brothers that are going to be on the team, and I invite everybody who wants to be a part of this to step up to me and say so. We're transforming, yes, we're transforming what is a leather event, leather men's event at Numbers, which is called Harness, into our tribe where we enroll as many people as possible into the pleasure of the dance, where we all dance together. I'm teaching these men to be leaders, to be role models, to be the ones that give permission. I'm giving away the techniques to make sure that we are outwardly focused. See, the problem with any group like this, it's too easy to become a clique where we clump together, hi, how are you, and new people bounce off of our indifference. Oh, he'll fit in sooner or later, but nobody's invested in that possibility. We don't do that. By going to this event and not just getting all duded up, we're going to be putting decorative lights on ourselves and dancing and having fun. Well, that's fine for the guys on the inside. But every time we do something at that bar for that monthly event, everyone else goes, Well, I'm tired of letting them wait, making them wait. Let's go, we're going to go up and just spread out and say, we've got some lights. Do you mind if we decorate you a little bit? Come dance with us. We're all dancing together. It's tribal. Come have fun. The DJ is on instructions to bring his best music that he knows will get people to dance. And it doesn't matter if you're a good dancer or a bad dancer, nobody gives a fuck. It's about the pleasure of the dance. It's a pleasure of the getting high on the endorphins of communal joy. How can I talk about this? Because I've hosted several hundred dance parties, and I know how to do it. I'm teaching others how to do that too. Why? Because the men in the bar, this goes back to the topic, the vast majority of them are still in the phase of wearing leather, and all they're waiting for is an invitation to step into living leather. And everyone has to make that decision at some point. And I'm not talking about you have to have gear. You really don't. You know, if you feel sexy in something, wear it. And if you don't, you don't. We don't care. You'll notice that there's no dress code here. That's by intent. I mean, I've got a whole shitload of stuff, but, you know, I'm not my gear. I am who I am, and I want to celebrate the pleasure of my brothers, and I'm not going to go stomping around in expensive gear and look down my nose and say, why don't you wear this? You know, it's a shitty economy. You know, if you're motivated, you'll get it. But in the meantime, what we have in this group is a constant mechanism to make the new people feel welcome. Some of you have already seen that tonight. Pretty much every man here has had that experience, nearly. I'm going to work on you, and you and you. Because we can't leave it unsaid. We have to consciously and continually keep reaching across the distance to be available to the possibility that there is majesty inside that man, that there's a good friend, and if we don't invest in him, we'll never fucking know. So let's talk about actual play, which is what you guys asked about. I've been talking from a community standpoint. Let's ramp it back. I'll take pity on you guys. If I'm going to play with somebody for the first time, they are timid woodland creatures. Okay? That's the way I see them. Because they've heard bad things. We've all heard the bad things. I have to reassure them. I have to seduce them. How do I do that? I take them out for coffee. I meet them for lunch. You know, whatever it is. Outside of a scary place. And I just basically gently reassure them. Because if I'm across from somebody, close, they're using their bullshit detectors at full crank. They want to know if I'm a fake, if I'm a flake, or an abuser. They want to know. My job is to be completely clear, completely straight with them. You know, I mean direct. Sorry. My job is to give their bullshit detectors nothing to hook onto. I'm conscious about it. I'm reassuring. I'm calming. I'm making sure that they know on multiple levels, because they're really getting multimedia with me. Texting doesn't fucking work. Plain text and a JPEG do not represent any man in this room. You are not one note, you are a symphony. And in order for somebody to really get how wonderful you are, you have to be present with them. And the problem is the internet is making us socially retarded. And it's hard for us to get past our inhibitions and our fears and our concerns and considerations by having it be in a safe space. You know, I tend to go to Lestat's over here on Adams Avenue. You know, nothing against Starbucks, but I like to support local businesses. But it's outside of a dungeon, and I'm reassuring them that there's a human being underneath this, that I'm not going to be going around saying, smash with rock, Ongawa, mean top, mean. You know, who the hell are you impressing with that? You know, I mean, I can do that. Believe me, I'm very good at it. But it's not my only track. You know, I'm also a really nice guy. And that's what people want to know first. So I consciously create a space for trust to begin. Because trust does not work unless it goes in both directions and it's continuous. I'll explain that. I'm a big experienced top. Whoa, I'm a master. I'm a slave-owning master. Wow. And I can be completely devastated by a submissive because I get emotionally invested. Because I'm a human being. It's what's normal. People who don't get emotionally invested, I don't really want to hang around with them. I'm not into that. There's a market for the remote serve, for the guy who treats you like shit that he's got to scrape off of his heel. There's people that are looking for that, and people are looking to provide it. They don't tend to hang out with us. It's okay. They can have their own ways of doing things. The way that I say it is, in this group, we operate in the light. We have nothing to be ashamed of. We have nothing to fear. We want to be visible so that instead of being the guy who regularly, leaves somebody in the hospital for 3 days, you know, and goes, ha-ha, I got away with it because he never figured out my real name. That kind of person does not want to hang out with us because we're all going to pivot around and say, that's the man, officer, arrest him. Sorry, Felix. That's not the man. Okay, that's not the man. But what we want, what the guy on the other side, the shy new guy on the other side of the table is looking for, he wants his dreams to come true. He wants to come through it and have it be, he doesn't consciously think this, but he wants ecstasy. I'm not talking about the drug. I'm talking about such a connection that is so beautiful and so connected and so intimate, so deeply intimate, that it will transform his life. And it doesn't have to be epic. It doesn't have to have cannons firing and, you know, marching troops and all the rest of that stuff. It can be something as simple as the first time that he gets tied up or mummified or flogged or whatever. When I'm teaching flogging, and I do it all the time, one of the lessons that I teach is, if you're playing with somebody and this is their first time, you are transforming their life. This is a holy duty, a holy calling for the guy who initiates the newbie, because he's going to remember it the rest of his life. And if we don't do it consciously, if we just, like, you know, flail away, then he might get traumatized, and I have to deal with that too. And the guy say, "Oh God, I wish you'd flogged me. I've seen you in action, and nobody's touched me with a flogger in 17 years because it was so bad the first time." You have to be mindful of that. But by reassuring them, by seducing them, by establishing commonality, establishing trust with a capital T, you know, not little trust, big trust, what happens is that it creates openings for new magic to happen. It creates the possibility that you're going to build a connection with each other on a human level, and honestly an animal level, if it's done right. Because what we're starved for is what drugs promise us. Drugs promise us a quick way to lose your inhibitions. Drugs promise us a great way to, you know, get really sexual or whatever. Drugs promise a whole shitload of a lot of stuff, and it doesn't help. It just makes things worse. What we're really starved for, and this is true, this will be on the test, by the way, guys, is that what we're really starving for is ultimate connection with each other. And so many of us have never had it, so we don't even know what the hell to ask for. All we know is the yearning. And what we do is by being available to each other. And I'm not talking about, you know, hearts and flowers necessarily if you're looking for the stern and, the hard ass, top. At least some form of power flow between you. Some kind of give and take. The way I say it is that the more that you submit, the more it activates my master glands, you know, starts them to secreting, you know, makes me dominate more. That can be a powerful thing for both sides, where we both get really, really, really endorphinated. You know, we all get our goodies from it. We feel great about it. You know, that's our birthright. All of us as human beings, as sexual beings. And again, we get back to the main point, which is that kink is just hardcore vanilla, really, that we're getting closer to each other and closer and pushing the limits and finding what else we're capable of in our lives. And I'm going to take a break for a moment. I'm going to open it up to questions, discussions, thoughts, anything like that.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were just good. Everybody's still pondering. I have that effect. I cover a lot. No, this is... So. Okay. What I do as a top, who's been around a long time, like I said, since 77 in the kink scene, is I take my trainees through four phases. I mentioned this last week. You can quote them. Why don't you tell us what the four phases are? You wrote it down. Look in your nose.
No, I'll let you say it.
All right. Number one is establishing trust in both directions. Not optional. People who just jump on, pump squirt, jump off, and run away, do what dogs do. I don't have a lot of patience for that. In every man's life, he comes to a point where he gets tired of quantity, and he craves quality. It's a one-way trip. Once you've reached that point, you're spoiled. You don't want anything less than the best. And that's what this is all about, is establishing what your desires are and what you're not willing to settle for less than. Unfortunately, it makes us rather lonely, because anybody who's been on any of the cruisy sites has seen, it can be very difficult to find what you're looking for. You can ask a lot, but it doesn't guarantee you're going to get. Okay? What has happened with this group? I'll talk more about that in a moment. But what has happened with this group? A lot of the men you see in the group photos on here, they're not here now. Where the fuck are they? They have found somebody, usually through this group. I could probably name you 40 couples that have found each other through this group in the last 4.5 years. There's probably a lot more. They drift off. They have found each other. They talk to each other. They get connected on a nice, intimate level. And then off they go. And I bless them. And when they come back for the movie night or something like that, I'm always glad to see them. But they have lives. That this has actually turned out to be a very good way for men to meet each other in a non-threatening space where you don't have to be posturing and you don't have to, you know, try to prove anything. You can just be you, and that's attractive enough. So give you hope. Okay. But anyway, so establishing trust. Again, starting out in a neutral space. If I am conscious about the process, what I'm doing is I'm explaining as I go along. What I've discovered as a top is that if I did the entire scene completely silent, it would really freak the submissive out. Freak him out, because in the absence of information, that active part of our brain fills up the gap with our fears, our preconceptions, and our history, which is not so good. Think, oh crap, maybe he thinks I'm too much this, maybe I'm not enough that, maybe I'm not going to be ready for what comes up, blah, 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 blah in the head. As an experienced sir, I talk reassuringly. Yes, I love to talk. I love the sound of my own voice, as anybody knows. But I'm also really good at reassuring. That is a great way of establishing trust, of reassuring them, of taking that active part of their brain and just kind of setting it aside because they're so interested in me saying, okay, this next part here, I'm going to do this, and here's why. Doesn't mean I have to know everything about it, but I'm just going to say, we're going to play with this. We're going to have some fun with it. And then, okay, you did great. Now, okay, then we go into phase two, which is, well, two and three tend to intermix, but I'll just say training. I use only operant conditioning, which means only positive reinforcement. I'm not one of those tops that intentionally is disagreeable. You did it wrong. Do it again or else I'll punish you. That's a different market. That's over there. I'm over here. I'm approval-based. So this is all my opinion from the opinions of an approval-based sir, where I say, okay, you have been harmed in the past by being fucked. You bled, you bit the pillow, you really regretted it afterwards. Well, I'm going to teach you what it's all about. I'm going to teach you what all the talking's about, why all these people love it so much, and you're going to be glad. But in order to do that, I have to train you. And by the way, this is a topic coming up soon, where, like for instance, I make sure that my nails are always smooth. So if I'm playing with the man's butt, and I'm adding lube, lots and lots of lube, I'm reassuring him and say, oh, okay, you're doing fine. Okay, it's a little tense right now. Why don't you breathe me in, just relax a little bit. And then he'll try this, he'll try that, because he doesn't know where the switches are in his head to relax. Because, you know, it's new to him. And I reassure him and say, okay, there it is. There you got it. Because I'm not going to push in if he's tense. I'm not. I'm saying, I'm just putting some lube in there. I want you to just kind of get used to that. And now we're going to do this, and I want you to experience this. And then grab your dick and jack it real hard, because I want to teach you how to eroticize the part of your body that you haven't eroticized before. As a man, this is your birthright to enjoy getting butt play. And I'm going to teach you. By using those words, I am reassuring him, and he's ready to go. He's going, oink, 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 please, please, please. Okay, but the training has to happen in a very fully present way. It's not something I do as a throwaway. I'm paying attention to all the signals. See, this is experiential. This isn't just my eyesight. This isn't just what I'm doing. It's not just the words that I'm using. It's the pheromones. It's a communication through touch. Can you take your glasses off? I'm communicating with him on many levels that I cannot articulate in a logical way. But he knows that I'm being present with him. I'm not thinking about tomorrow's laundry. I'm not, you know, wishing that I could upgrade to a better, you know, slave. I'm being present with him. I'm being fully in this space. and it's communicated, because when I'm touching, I'm using firm touch. I'm using upper body strength. I'm manhandling him. I'm letting him know that I like what I'm doing. I'm communicating, I like you. I like touching you. I'm doing it in a nonverbal way. What I'm doing here is giving him a full multimedia experience. I'm letting him know that he is welcome and that we're going to have a lot of fun, and that at each stage he's going to feel glad that we did. Because the first time I play with that man, I'm not going to be pushing his fucking limits. Ever. That's, you know, the one-night stand thing that I've heard about and I haven't done in a few decades. I'm going to invest, because I'm that kind of guy. I'm going to say, okay, when we come back, let's take it to the next level. You're going to be ready for that? Whatever you say, sir, because he trusts me now. He's ready to start exploring more. I've created not just a space for his breakthrough, but for mine too, that I might learn something new about him. I'm taking ownership of the conversation between us that's happening on a physical and experiential level. What I'm doing is I'm not just, how to say it, I'm transforming his life in a lot of ways and in a very responsible way. Because each time that we try stuff, now I'm going to talk out of turn here. Slave told me when he first met me and we first started playing, he said, no marks, no pain. That didn't last long, did it? And that's an evil laugh. Pay attention. No, because I reassured him, I showed him how much fun it could be, and pretty soon he surprised me. He said, how come you don't beat me as hard as you beat those other guys? And I'm going to talk out of turn again. This is a slave that after I've put all sorts of marks on his back, he'll strut through his neighborhood on his afternoon walk with his shirt off so all the cars driving by can see it. You know? And I'm not saying that that's good or bad, but he's proud and he's very happy about it, and I'm glad. I'm not saying this is true for everybody, but it's true for him. What happens is that someone who is new and shy and unsure wants to be welcomed in to a larger culture, that they don't want to be on the sidelines anymore. They see the porn, but porn is a shitty role model. Really shitty role model. Because I promise you, you've never seen a porn video where two guys are sitting across from each other for an hour and a half talking to establish commonality, to build trust. They don't show the bottom struggling the first time he's douching ever for 2 hours because he can't quite get it right. Now, you know, it's about 5-10 minutes and that's it. It's all done. But it takes time to build skills, and you have to be easy on yourself, on both of you. You have to be accepting and forgiving, because we're all fumbling in the darkness together. Yeah, I've got decades of experience, but there's a whole bunch of shit I'm still learning. It's an ongoing process of the path towards wisdom. Nobody ever gets to complete wisdom. We tend to die first. But when we do it right, we're all on the same path, and we're working our way along. And that's what grown-ups do. See, somebody who just shows up, does their thing, and then turns around and goes, is not fully involved in the process of life. What we're doing when we're investing in somebody, when we're bringing them into kink world, into the community, what we're really doing is we're causing that man to springboard to a new level, and he'll never go back. He holds himself differently. He stands taller. He puffs out his chest more because he knows that he has finally reached the status that he's yearned for his whole life. He's finally become the kind of man that he always was born to be. He's found his destiny. In order to have that happen, though, it does not happen by yourself. And I assert it also doesn't happen if you've only got one other person in your life that's kinky. I assert again that it works best when we all have each other's back, because we help each other. I mean, I, by nature, am a mentor. But the reason why we have this, yes, I'm dominating the discussion tonight, but most of the time, we share our wisdom with each other. We're all wearing an invisible t-shirt that says mentor on it. Because somebody here might ask a question in one of the future meetings. You say, oh, I've had that same situation, and this is what I did about it, and I succeeded. That's really what this is best used for, not just me dictating down at you guys. You know. So, phase two is training. Phase three, I mean, part three, again, two and three mixed together, is finding the buttons. Everybody has different buttons. Everybody's got different buttons. Well, if I don't know what those buttons are, it's my fucking job to find out. Some people, their dick is directly wired to their nipples. Others, it's completely inert. Some people, they're desperate to be mummified, whereas other people are just completely bored with the concept. How are you going to know unless you interview, unless you take the time to listen? Tops are not psychic, and we need to stop pretending that we are. It's okay to ask. It's okay to not know. It's okay to be inexperienced, for God's sake. We've got to let ourselves off the fucking hook. Because people are not looking for perfection. They're looking for ecstasy. And the only way that works is by going through the phases. Okay? If I take the time to find out that this really doesn't work, like we discovered that a long strip of leather with a handle called a dragon's tongue can be quite impactful on a man's exposed testicles. Who knew? Write that one down in the books, you know. Make a note for later. In every case, every time that I play, I want it to be a growth experience. I want it to not just be the same old thing. I can't have that. I can't have that experience of having a change if I'm not getting the feedback that I need. There are men out there who go completely stoic. And I'm here to tell you right now, that's not a good idea for the bottoms. Don't go stoic. It's irritating for me. Because I need a flow, and somebody just lays there like a dead fish. It's like, I'm going to go out to the living room and read my book for a while. You let me know when you're done. Because if I'm not getting what I need, I lose interest. I get a soft on. When someone, like for instance, Felix, gives really good feedback, really good feedback. The times that he and I have flogged and stuff like, oh my God, he's wonderful at feedback. And I don't know if I've said the phrase to you, but playing with you is like dessert. It really is. And I like dessert a lot. I'm still wearing a lot of it. Where I'm going with this is that Felix would not be so self-expressive with me if he didn't trust me. If he feared me. If he thought I was, you know, just some guy. What I have to do whenever I'm playing with somebody for the first time, I can accelerate the process very quickly because I'm very charismatic. I think you guys can tell. Not everybody has all of the tools in their toolbox that I do. It's okay. I'm here to teach. Whatever works for each individual, that's good. But see, what I do as a top is after the first time I play with somebody, I say, before you sleep tonight, you will send me an email giving me full details of what happened and what you thought about it, what you liked and what you didn't like. Or before I even play with them, I'll say, before you sleep tonight, send me an email with your most raunchy, kinky fantasies. And there's no wrong way to do it. There's some surprising responses that I get going, wow, I had no idea. Okay. Well, as a sir, what I don't do is use it as a Chinese menu. I said, okay, today we'll do two from this column and one from that column. Go. Instead, I look at what's underneath it. What if what's underneath it is that guy wants to be owned? He wants to stop having choice in his life. He wants to be of service. You know, that's really what's underneath all these other fantasies that he's articulating. I look at that and I say, I see the pattern. And that's what I work with, because there's nothing more disappointing for a submissive than to have a top who just says, okay, tell me what to do and I'll do it. You know, there's got to be a little bit of spark in both directions. So when I am reassuring somebody, when I'm playing with them, when I'm growing along with them, when I'm investing in them, when I'm taking the time to, you know, keep helping them get a little bit further along, there's got to be a goal. Let's get back to it. Phase four, ecstasy. where it's so extraordinary that the top of your head blows off. The example that I give for me, and this is kind of graphic, my pleasure is peeling off the top of the skull, finding where the pleasure center is, jumping on and fucking it. Because I want to find out exactly what gets them completely electrified, where they're screaming and crying and unable to gather their breath for a long time. It's a really worthy goal. Doesn't happen all the time, but it's a great thing to aim for. And it ain't going to happen if you don't set the goal. If you're just showing up, then you're just showing up. There has to be somebody who takes responsibility for the success of the event, of whatever's happening. That old phrase, and I've said it before, two bottoms do not make a top. Somebody has to be the one who drives. Doesn't matter who, but somebody. Because that's where magic comes from, to build that power flow. And not just on one level, but on every level. You know, touch. It's pheromones. Oh, yeah. Not just touch, but how we touch. You know, proving power touch. You know, using every tool in your toolbox. Like in my case, I played with somebody without any toys whatsoever. Didn't even have a belt with me, but he really wanted to play with me. Spent about an hour and a half with him, absolutely driving up the wall, using my beard, using my unshaven whiskers, which are spikier, using the tips of my teeth on this side. I got nip, nip, nip along the sides, using my upper body strength, manhandling, using, I had big boots on with the waffle stomper soles on them, stepping on him, using my lean forward, using my fists, using, obviously, spanking, using all of the things that are with me, using my weight. I mean, I'm 270 pounds, and I lay on top of somebody, they're aware of it. Okay, where I crush them right into the mattress. I've been this size since 1968, and I'm good at it. Okay, that's called size disparity play. Whatever tools you have, bring them to the party. It doesn't have to be an expensive, you know, $400 flogger. It can be, if there is such a thing. You know, $40 is plenty for a good flogger. And if you want to know where to get one, let me know. But anyways, it's not so much about the toys. It's not so much about the gear. The gear makes it feel sexy. God bless you. Wear it. Be sexy. Wear it when you're ready, because gear is just non-verbal communication. It just says, this is who I am. Because on a very subconscious level, as humans, as pack apes, we assume that what is being presented is the truth. So don't wear it if you don't feel it. That's really important, because people will call you on it. If I'm duded up in full gear and I look 9 foot tall and 6 foot wide, trust me, but I'm not in the mood, then people come up and ping me hoping to be ponged, and they won't get the response they're looking for. What's wrong with that guy? Versus if I'm wearing it and I intend to be a powerful force of nature, of kink and powerful and power and pleasure, I'm going to dress that way and I'm going to deliver. Okay? So that if we're communicating to everyone, this is who I am and this is who I'm proud to be, take it or leave it, people will take you on that. They'll take you at face value. Gear is just a way of expressing that which we desire and what we want to be considered desirable in. It's not required for every circumstance. Again, you're not stuck in one position. Let the pendulum flow. Okay. It's okay for a big, outrageous sir to giggle like a little girl and make this one giggle like a little girl, too, in the middle of a scene. Laughter can break up the tension very nicely. It's okay to do before care, during care, and after care. Cuddling, talking, communicating, unwinding together. Tell you what, I've been talking and talking continuously. Let's take a 10-minute bio break, gentlemen. And I'll. Oh, yes, and we do pay for the use of the space. It's entirely optional, but if you would like to donate towards the use of the space, we are passing the hat. It's a lot to think about. Yeah. But it's not a couple of things. It's a much more popular thing. Where's the rest of our newbies? Oh, okay. They're making their way in.
They had to take the
pup out. Oh, yeah. They brought the little baggie, you know. Yeah.
Now that's Keith. Mm-hmm.
No, it's not.
I've got stories to tell.
You just haven't got there yet.
Okay. So I've been doing an awful lot of talking, and again, I want to remind everybody, this is just my opinion, but I'm basing these opinions on decades of experience. So what the hell qualifies me to talk about this stuff? When I got out of 12 years of Catholic school, I was pissed. I was royally, royally pissed. I fucking hated it. I felt that I'd been lied to the whole time about sexuality, about relationships, about roles, about all that stuff. And I thought, what practical use is 12 years of fucking Catholic school? I didn't even know which way to turn a screwdriver. You know, I had no idea how to be a functional human being. I had no street smarts, and I knew it. Well, I came out in the 70s. Well, back in the 70s, everybody was doing drugs, and everybody was having sex. I nearly overdosed. Really overdosed. When I was in the Navy, it was the days before random drug testing. And it scared the shit out of me, so I stopped doing any kind of drugs whatsoever, at all. And in the midst of the 70s, I'd be the only sober person at the parties. And people would say, oh, come on, welcome, welcome, brother. And people would keep saying, you know, oh, come on, just some. And I'd say, no, I was quite clear, I didn't want any more of that. And oddly enough, I'm also one of the few people that survived that time, because I was deep in the heart of everything. I was there when everybody started dying. And died and died and died. But that's a different story entirely. Where I'm going with this is that my whole adult life since I got out of Catholic school has been actively gathering useful wisdom. Every day. I've never taken a day off. I've always wanted to find out how to get better at stuff, how to ask for more help. I've done therapy, I've done self-help workshops, I've done all sorts of stuff. And now I'm here as an elder for the tribe, and that's my role. This is unusual for me to do this much talking. Normally I'm fitting into the background, and gladly, but Mike asked me to step in. And I felt that it was really important to share this stuff, because what I'm actually teaching here is the sort of thing that I teach when tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, I teach tops every Thursday. Why tops? Am I against bottoms? Oh, no. I'm teaching because I want happier bottoms. I want more likelihood to have couples find each other. But in order to have that happen, we need more confidence in the serfs, the masters, the doms in this community. Because when we compare ourselves to porn, we always come out bad. And the biggest deficit is not so much needing to know more technique, though that's always nice. In the local community, the biggest deficit is confidence. And that's really what I do, is that I teach confidence, how to be the man who owns who he is. Okay? And the reason why I bring this up, what I'm actually teaching tonight is what is called soft skills. I've been coming to the thought, and I want everybody else's thoughts as time goes by, but I went to the Club X board meeting the other night, and I realized that I'm going to be promoting more of Club X's, Club X's for men and women here locally. And it's called pansexual, you know, because it's everybody of every kind. Well, they have hard classes, you know, hard skills, where they teach this is how you flog, this is how you do hot wax. And we've done those. We do those once a month here. But it's generally not enough, you know. And so then Club X, we're going to be promoting a lot more of their stuff so that people can learn specific things, but to come here because this is what is known as a sacred male space. This is where we start with friendship, first and foremost, real friendship. Not just, hi, how are you? You know, real hugs as opposed to A-frame hugs, you know. real investing in each other as friends and as brothers, even if we're not the same. Even if we're not sexually attracted to each other. You know, for whatever reason, but what if we're just really good friends too? That we don't have to marry the first guy that is friendly to us, you know? That we can relax, drop the shields. Because dropping the shields is the sexiest thing of all. Confidence, as opposed to being desperate, or lonely, or freaked out, which is all too common in our culture. And everybody takes it personally, that there's something wrong with them individually, not realizing that it is a problem in the larger community. When we understand that, getting back to the topic, when we understand that we're all on edge, we're all insecure, we're all worried about how we are in the world and how people perceive us, it's actually kind of funny. Because we're all struggling with this fear and this insecurity. Well, how about we all just agree just to let go of it? And that's why our events are so successful. Because we're playful. We're lighthearted. We're frisky. We're childlike, really. And we're sweet. Now, the stereotype of the Leatherman is, oh, never sweet, stern, you know, repressed. Fuck that noise. That can be for other people. This is the fun group of guys. We're going to have rocking good time this Friday. Really rocking. So the plan going forward for this week, and next week, and the week after that. I don't have the list in front of me. But, okay, tomorrow night, I'm going to be at Slave Keys. If you're not sure where that is, let me know. I'll be doing Top Talk, but more, you know, teaching tops. But more than that, I'm going to be building the team for what happens on Friday night. What will happen on Friday night as I see it, but this is open to everybody to bring whatever, to bring their own fun to and their own ideas, is that we're going to arrive, we're going to get lit up. I have the day after Halloween, the few days after Halloween, I pretty much emptied all of the 7 major 99-cent stores in San Diego County of all the cheap, light-up-in-the-dark Chinese crap. I bought it out. And I've got drawers and drawers full of it, and I'm making it available to my brothers. No charge, just for fun. The idea is it's going to be a dark bar. There's going to be fun dance music. If you wear a harness, if you own a harness, bring it. Because we're going to take those long, thin tubes where you break it and it starts glowing, you whack it a few times and it spreads it out. And then we're going to use clear tape to attach to your harness so you have light up in the dark harness. We have 17 LED roadside flares. Each guy gets one. So you're Iron Man, right? Flash, flash, flash. I hope nobody's going to be epileptic at this event, because there's going to be a lot of flashing lights.
Well, they already have their lasers at the bar anyway.
Yeah. But the idea is it's not just going to be us. We're going to, like I said, be outwardly focused and enroll people saying, this is going to be different tonight. We're just dancing for the fun of it. This tonight is all about the fun of dancing. Would you like to be a part of it? Would you like to wear something lit up? Sure. Come dance with us. Come on, brother. And it can be that little of a gesture that can transform somebody's understanding of our community. Just a little tiny thing like that. Just a little touch of human connection that they didn't get otherwise. It can make all the difference in that man's life. And we have to be available for that possibility. What I'm teaching, like I said, tomorrow night I'm going to be talking a lot about how to begin conversation. Like, just here's a preview. I mean, this does have to do with tonight's topic, really. Stand. You don't have to do this, but this is my success technique for me. You notice when I go up to someone, I don't step this far away from them and talk at them with my arms crossed. It's very different communication. I go up to them, and I get inside their personal space, and I touch them in a non-threatening way. I'm not going, hey, oh my God. I'm not treating them like a piece of meat. I'm treating them as somebody I already like. That's important. Because we're all worried about being judged. We're all worried about being seen as less than valuable. And if I take the time to touch him and get right in his face and say, excuse me, do you know about our group, Fetishmen in San Diego? I've heard about it. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, I'm touching in order to begin. I might say, I'm Tony. I'm the founder of the group. I'm touching here. His natural reaction
is to reach out and touch my hand. And I don't let go of it. I just turn around so everybody sees.
This is not a fake handshake. This is a real thing.
But see, a handshake is a common, wired into our culture signal. I have no weapons in my hands, and I already like you. Now, he may interpret it because he's lonely and he's a little desperate. But this guy's flirting with me. You run that risk. It's okay. You know, we're not promising him penis, but we are promising him at least, you know, come have some fun, come dance, come play. I want, you know, just as an aside, I want the flavor of this intense, cruisy Letterman's dance party on Friday night to be on the exact same level as naked three-year-olds playing in a mud puddle together. Really. And puppies in a pile. That same energy.
Because that liberates us to be more like what we wanted to be all along, which is, again, joyful, open-hearted, playful, ecstatic, not just on a one-to-one level, but together.
It doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen randomly. You can't leave it to choice. You have to be conscious about it. This is true on a one-to-one relationship as well. Because if I assume he already knows what I'm all about because he's read my recon profile, he really doesn't know me. Doesn't know me as a human being. I have to seduce him with words and with body language and with touch.
Pheromones.
So again, this all intersperses with the topic tonight. I want you guys to understand from my talk tonight, if you take only one thing away from it, what I want you to get is it's okay to be open. It's scary to be open. We're taking a chance here. What if the guy, you know, falls in love with me and is like gum stuck to my shoe and I can't get rid of him? We run that risk. What I do instead is not overpromise. I'm not, you know, flirting, I'm not grabbing any of the sexual stuff. I'm being a little formal. I'm just being welcoming. I'm being the kind of guy that I would want to touch me or to attract me or to be, I'm not saying this right. I want to carry myself as somebody who is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, not so clean, but reverent. I want to be the kind of stand-up guy that people say, you know, I don't know that guy, but I get a really good vibe from him. Because again, we all have antennas. So it's a big antenna, something that's a little, to be able to judge other people. What we're doing by making ourselves available to this guy, this new guy, this shy guy, we're reassuring that part of him that says, oh, God, this one looks like a psychopath, I can't wait. 911, 911! You know, we want to reassure that side. Because if we really truly are, best man that we know how to be. See, I know how to be an evil, angry bitch. We all do. We all have it. We all have egos. We all have competitive natures to us. We all have, you know, strong opinions about things. And that's fine. That's normal. That's healthy. But when we set that part aside and we reach across the gap to other people, magic can happen. And we have to be available for that possibility. That guy may not ever be the guy that I have sexual intercourse with up to and including orgasm, but what if he turns out to be a lifelong friend anyways? See, if I go through a crowd and I'm shoving people out of the way, the fuck out of my way, assholes, I'm going to get asshole back.
Yeah.
Clearly. But if I see each man as someone who has worth and value and dignity, and I don't give a shit about the externals, because we're all up to here. We're being judged on external shit. We have no control over. Fuck that. I'm going to set the tone. I like it anyways. I like it this way. I choose you this way. That's my attitude when I'm reassuring people, when I'm meeting people. You guys have seen that. That's pretty much the secret of my success. And that's why, you know, I attract the best people in my life. So I think it's pressed that. Sorry. got to stretch my legs. I'm sitting in front of the computer. Brain's a little sandpaper.
So I'm going to, again, I'm going to take the chance of opening up the possibility to some discussion about any of this stuff and questions. Yes, Donnie?
I just want to share a story. A few weeks ago, I went to Long Beach for the Mr. the Leather Bear competition. As you guys know, I'm Mr. Southern California Bear. Mm-hmm. It was the first time that I went to an out-of-town event representing San Diego, representing that I'm Mr. Southern California Bear. And I went into the bar with the notion, I have a medal on. People come up to me and talk to me. I was there for a while. I was there with Mr. San Diego Bear. We were standing in the corner talking. Now, it was just so busy and crowded that people didn't notice me. So I started recognizing people that I've seen on Facebook or that are other title holders, and I just started going up and talking to them. Hi, I'm Donnie, I'm Mr. Southern California Bear, and I got to meet a whole bunch of the different title holders from the LA area, and some of them now are my friends on Facebook, and we've been talking and planning, trying to plan different things. And so when you go to places, sometimes you just have to make an initiative to just go up and talk to people.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to take you down. I'm going to tell an old story. Back in the days before the internet, there was a day. Back when we only went to leather bars, and there were, at one point, there were 6 leather bars simultaneously, leather and cowboy and, you know, Levi type bars in San Diego simultaneously. Okay. But so then I would go out in full gear. I was much younger and a lot less experienced. But I would go out to the leather bar, and I would be in full gear to the point where I'd duck to get through the doorway, and I'd step inside, I'd shoot my cuffs, and I look around, and I'm feeling really cocky, and ready to, I want to fuck something, I want to have some fun, and nobody will look at me. I'll go through the crowd, and it's very crowded, there'll be 400 guys in the bar. I'll be going through the crowd, and I'm smiling. I'm being accessible. Look at me. I'm friendly. Look at me smile. I'm accessible. You know, fresh meat. You know, come and get it. Nobody looks at me. I'd leave the bar. I'd go jack off. I'd feel lonely, and I'd go to sleep. So I brought a buddy of mine with me, and I had him walk behind me about 3 feet. I walked through the bar. And I'm big, so I can see where the openings are in the crowd, and I'm like an 18-wheeler. Everybody gets out of my lane. But then he says, my God, everybody's staring at you. I said, where? Well, they're waiting until after you pass, and then they look. They don't want to, you know, they're intimidated by you. Jesus. The only times that I would ever get laid was when some slutty guy would come up to me and say, hey, let's fuck. Okay. Because the problem is, okay, we're going to talk about tableaus, okay, like a diorama where you're at the museum and you've got the cheetahs, you know, and there's the mama cheetah and the cubs and all that, and off in the distance you've got the antelope and all that, and nothing moves, nothing changes. That's what happens a lot of times in cruisy situations, that everybody freezes going, choose me, choose me, choose me, choose me, and the choosing doesn't happen. Because, again, it all has to do with feedback. If I'm not getting feedback, I don't get stimulated. If I don't get stimulated, I can't kick into gear. So it's okay to ask for what you want. Yes, there's a likelihood that you'll be rejected, but you're many times more likely to get what you want than the guy who steps back and goes, oh God, I wish he'd looked my way. You know, it's like, fair heart never won, you know, Big Sur. You know, so move, goddammit. Tell us what you want. So, having expressed that. So, any other questions, any more comments, any concepts? You look like you want to ask something.
Just say, you said you'd like some help at the event on Friday night.
Yes.
But are you going to be training folks on Thursday night? So they have to come Thursday night and then go Friday night?
Well, you don't have to. I mean, it's an easy thing. I just explained the whole thing. Just be outwardly focused. Say, come on, come play with us. Come have fun. We're doing something different tonight.
Right. So we can really? Just show up on Friday night.
Say it again?
We can just show up on Friday
night. Yeah, you can. It's not required. There's no class. I'm just I'm just setting the tone, but also inviting on Thursday night others to say, you know, I think it would be really nice to add this one additional thing. Cool. Bring it. You know, I authorize you. Go for it. You know, because, again, the intention is that every man own that event. What an odd thing to say. It's not something that's meant to be a passive entertainment where you wait for things to happen at you. When you own it, when you say, I'm going to do something creative, watch me, or I'm going to take a chance here, and everybody goes, oh, good job, or whatever, it becomes something where everyone has a stake in the success of that event. And we do that every month, but in different ways. It's all meant to be teamwork effort to build brotherhood and to enroll more people into the brotherhood. We're being actively involved in creating pleasurable circumstances where everybody gets to go home happy. And that's what we do. This is just a little bit more conscious about the process that I'm teaching. That again, just bring your A game, bring some ideas, let's have some fun. Figure out something you want to do with light up stuff that I've not thought of, you know, or that somebody else might have, you know, thought of or whatever. Whatever it is, be creative. Bring excitement. Not just for other people, but for yourself. Let yourself off the hook. Take some chances. Drop the shields. You know, try it without getting drunk. So a lot of people think, oh, I can't dance unless I've got at least four drinks in me. Bullshit. That's a decision we made a long time ago when people said, you're not a very good dancer. Get off the dance floor. And so we made a decision. Oh, I'm bad at this. But what if you're at a party where nobody gives a fuck? And you're just dancing because you love to dance. Like a three-year-old where you just don't care how you look. Who wants to dance? Me, me, me. And you dance. And you don't care how you look. And just go for it. Let that be the theme. Have magic happen in every direction that you could never have expected because we all created it together. That's an idea. You look like you want to say something. You don't have to.
No, I just don't know how to put words to it.
Okay.
I've just never been in an environment like this, and where you have a caring community, and you have each other's backs, and, you know, if I've ever said before that I want to learn, then it's always like this backhanded thing where it comes back to stab me or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I'm like, wow, you know, it's... It took me so many years just to get to where I'm at, but then, you know, I'm so glad it, you know, only took me 2 weeks to find this video. So, thank you to each one of you. I mean, this is,
you're
this
welcome.
Is amazing.
Good. And I want every man here, every man, whatever our level of expertise, this is your group. Yes, I'm doing all the talking tonight. I promise you, the reason why we're so successful is because we all bring our A game. We all bring our ideas. We all bring what makes us special and our contribution. And that's why every event succeeds. It's not one guy doing it, two guys. It's not some hierarchy where, you know, there's people dictating downward. This is flat. A lot more flat than you realize. Where somebody says, I'd love it if we could dot, 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 whatever that idea is. The rest of us jump up and say, let's make that come true. That's why we've had so many events and why we have such a huge reputation. Because we're different. And so my invitation, keep coming back. Please. You are wanted here. It is important to us that you be with us. You're not some weirdo that has to go jump through flaming hoops to be loved and welcomed. You're here. You've got it. All you have to do now is take advantage of it. That the more that you show up and the more that you show us who's inside that external, you know, appearance, the more we're going to like you. We're not going to gather evidence that, oh, he's just a jerk. No matter which direction you turn him, he's all jerk. We don't do that. And you have to really trip hard, you know, for us to, you know, jump in your shit. What I'm saying is that keep coming back, please. It matters. You know? Thank you for coming. We're glad to have you here. It's nice. You know, you're here. Okay, I'm going to point at you. You're here. You're being fully self-expressed. And you notice that we're not making fun of you. We're not excluding you. We're not shaming you. We're not making you wrong. We're not saying, sorry, come back next lifetime. And again, this is part of tonight's theme. What I'm doing is I'm clearly articulating a message that cannot be mistaken. You can't think, well, wait a second, how did he mean that? No. These are clear, definitive, declarative statements. As a sir, that's what I do also. I don't use weasel words. I don't say, well, if I'm not too tired, if I can get around to it, you know, I might think about it. And those are weasel words. By stating things declaratively, saying, this is what I stand for, this is who I am, this is what you can count on, I'm being a stand-up guy, and people know what I'm good for, and they can trust it. That matters. It sets the tone for everyone else around. And that's true in an intimate basis, and it's true on a tribal basis. Any further thoughts? Because I do tend to go on.
Donnie, I want to echo the words of somebody who's not here tonight, but one of our younger members, who's a pup, Nikita, said at a meeting a while ago, a closed mouth doesn't get fed. So to the new members that happen to be here tonight, if there's something you want from us, if there's something that you'd like to see us do or talk about, let us know. Don't be afraid. We're here for you. So if you don't want to say something out in the open, feel free to talk to us during a break or afterwards, because we all like to hear what everybody wants to see in a meeting. So we talk to Papa Tony, talk to me, talk to pretty much anybody, and we'll tell the right person. And if there's something that you're into that if you want to learn more about, let us know too, because we can point you in the right direction if we talk to you.
Yeah, we're really good at networking. Yes, David.
The other thing, if you haven't been here a long time, every once in a while they have planning groups, and we have like a potluck where we just say, hey, in the next 2 or 3 months we want to do this, we want to try this. So if you haven't been here for a long period of time and didn't know that, that sort of thing happens occasionally.
Cool. Okay, so Donnie, why don't you tell us about a week from today. We will not be here. We will be at?
A week from today, which is February the 18th, we are not going to be having a group here, but instead, if you feel so inclined, which I invite you, and we all invite you to come, because we want to make a big showing at this event, there's a weekly or a monthly social at the 94th Aero Squadron, which is off Balboa in the Mesa College kind of area. In between the 163 and the 15 freeway. And it's a big restaurant with a huge patio that's multi-levels, and they have a BDSM social, which is mostly pansexual, but a lot of gay men go too. When I went last year, there was probably about 6 or 8 that I spotted and talked to, and I know a lot of the other people that go, because I belong and go to other groups that they also host. The two people that put the group together are that have been hosting it for the last several months are two of my friends, Daddy Vinny and Lolita, who helped out with the discussion that we had here last year in October, and they have been hosting it for several months since the other people stepped down and do it. And basically what it is, it's just a big meet and greet to meet different people in the community, so it's a big social thing to talk to people. So we want to go as a big group to show kind of what fetishment is about. Because even though we do a lot of stuff, we kind of stick to our LGBT Hillcrest community, so it's a way for us to go out in another area of San Diego and to see what everybody else is up to and to say, hey, we're here, kind of thing. And one of the things that they do is that they have a raffle that one of the people that goes, his name is Clovis, and he has a company called Old Armory Leather, and he makes whips and floggers, the dragon tail, he makes those, and he makes paddles, and they do a raffle, and they sell the tickets for 50 cents, and the money usually goes to like a charity group, but I believe this next one that's coming up is going to be going to the Stomping Ground, which is going to be happening soon within the next couple of months in Mission Valley. It's going to be a new sex-positive type of center where people can go and find out information, and also a play space that's going to be open for people that are members, kind of thing. So this is what's going to happen next week. Instead of here, we're going to be at the 94th Aero Squadron. If you need the address, I have little flyers. If you want to take one, I'll pass them around. Also, the information is going to be up on our Facebook page.
Cool. Can I add to that, Don?
Yes.
Expect to be loved really forcibly. These are people that know what we stand for, that love us, that respect us. A large number of the people that are going to be at the 94th Aero Squadron that you've never met before, they are fucking dying to meet you. They want to be your friend badly. How can I say this? Because things have changed. We have become, this group has become the gold standard for being kinky and being sweet, being nice. Thank you. Very good. What we stand for is the good man. Our larger culture does not celebrate the good man. It sees us as suspect, that we're predators, that we're molesters, that we're, you know, a gang, that we're a problem when men are together. We signify as far in the other direction as it can be. Wherever we go, everybody's delighted. Everybody's glad because we're nice. We're respectable, beautiful men, and we bring a totally different flavor to the kink community that everybody's really glad for. When I go to these mixed pansexual events, I get so much love. Magnum, can you speak to that? Scott, can you speak to that?
To
how you were treated by the, let's say, Club X.
They were warm and easy enough folks to talk to, and did not shun me or make me feel bad or other than or excluded from.
Mm-hmm. Very good. How about you, Magnum?
What was the question?
The question is, how do people treat you when you are in the pansexual kink community?
With lots of openness, lots of love, acceptance. And yeah, I want to encourage you to not be a one-trick pony and step out in your comfort zone and go to a Club X. They have a lot of demonstrations, educational, whatever you can think of, they have it going on. And so just go to the Club X Facebook page. I think it's Club X San Diego. Or you can go to FetLife. If anybody's familiar with FetLife, you can find out their schedule there. But they're really open. The range is from legal to home. I don't know what legal is these days. I think it's 21. And
18.
Is it 18? Okay.
Good.
18 to 98. The range is deep and wide, and they're really accepting, and they're waiting for y'all to come over there and be a part of that. So, I'm a member. He's a card-carrying member. Yeah.
So my next question, who here is not on the email list or Facebook or following us on the website? Who is not getting the information about upcoming events? Before
sure.
you leave, let's make sure. Very good. Very good. Because okay, we'll get you. Don't leave without talking to me about that. We'll get you on the list. Okay. So, what? No?
No about that. The other thing I wanted to say about talking to any of us about anything, we're always looking for discussion topics and hands-on demo topics.
Yep.
So if there's something that twizzles your fancy, either to talk about or to do, would love to know because we're looking for we're trying to plan things out ahead. It's just so much easier to know. It's to have a list of topics already ready to try to come up with stuff on the spot.
Right. So Scott, could you stand up, please?
I do this periodically. Our brother Scott has done the work. He's taken the time to learn how to use a single tail. It's not enough for me to teach somebody. They have to show aptitude. They have to show dedication. They have to apply themselves. They have to grow as an active behavior. Scott has been doing that. I've been watching him. I've been testing him without him realizing. Not as in pass or fail, but seeing what his aptitude is, finding out where his life is taking him, and whether he's willing to take some chances. I salute our brother Scott because he has truly earned this way. It is my gift to him. It is for many years. You don't American brand at that. You do have to do this one as he wants.
Mm-hmm.
But make your submissive do that. It's his job. But let's hear it for our Scott, who has reached his next level.
Photo op.
Yeah, only we had a photo op. Yes. Oh, there's a photo op. Yeah. Okay, hold it up for the world to see. So we're going to do several things. Okay, one, we do this, where we treasure each other this way. Very good. Okay, now, show us what you got.
Uh-huh. Yep. Isn't that beautiful? Uh-huh. You got any pictures, Felix? Oh, he needs a flash. Okay. Very good.
It's a little flash for ambient.
Uh-huh, yeah. All right, so.
You know what? It might be this extra knot. I had difficulty with that. But I wasn't going for sound.
This whip has never been loud.
No.
Oh. There we go.
Oh, beautiful. Good timing. Really good timing. Beautiful. Good job, Scott.
Somewhere our bottom just shuddered.
Uh-huh. All right, so I'm sure that there's more that we could be talking about. Any further thoughts before we sign off for the evening, gentlemen? Yes.
I just wanted to expand on what we spoke about a few minutes ago about the Club X event. We were definitely welcomed. And even though I'm only into gay guys, there's straight girls there as well as straight guys. And they definitely brought a different perspective for me, because I'm pretty narrow, and they've also got some really interesting kinky stuff that they're into, and I just found it really fascinating. I'm looking forward to next week, the event that we're doing, but also that one. I stand corrected. Was it Club X or Left of the Slash?
Left of the Slash is Monday night.
Was it one of the same?
Different.
Whatever it was. That's my point.
Very good.
Thanks.
Someone else had their hand up?
And then 2 weeks from tonight, we're back here?
2 weeks tonight, we're going to be at Slave Keys, and we're going to be doing hands-on demo. Thank you for asking. What is the topic for the hands-on demo? Did we ever choose? I don't remember.
Did it make you comfortable?
Say it again?
Like,
well, that was tonight's thing. But
tonight.
We,
pushing beyond his or her limits.
Yes. Okay. Very good.
That's what Mike Rock said. I just copied and pasted it and changed the words.
Very good.
I corrected the spelling, but I didn't change it.
Yeah. So normally we have this here, the first, or wherever we have it, first, second, and third Monday, Wednesday of each month. We're breaking it up a little bit this time because, you know, it's time to go out and take a field trip. Yeah, get a note from your parents. That's pretty much it for tonight. Before you leave, make sure that we get you connected. And, gentlemen, I thank you for letting me talk for so long. I feel gratified. I need a cigarette. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. All right.